Now, as we continue with our studies in the Gospel according to John, our reading today is taken from chapter 7. The Gospel according to John, chapter 7. Commencing our reading at verse 40, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, "Of a truth, this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was?" So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, "Why have you not brought him?" The officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." Then answered them the Pharisees, "Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed." Nicodemus said unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, "Doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth?" They answered and said unto him, "Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look. For out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." And every man went unto his own house. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we bow our hearts before Thee in prayer. Coming to Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we desire to acknowledge Thee. O God, we thank Thee for the grace and for the mercy Thou hast shown towards the sinful sons of Adam. Now we pray that since we have read Thy word, as we seek to examine its teaching, that by Thy Holy Spirit Thou shalt apply the truth to all our hearts, that each of us may be encouraged as a result of the study of Thy word. Hear us in these things for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, as we come to these closing verses of chapter 7, I want to remind you again that all this is the outcome of the great speech that the Lord gave on that last day, the great day of the feast. He'd gone up to Jerusalem. They were looking for him. They were expecting him there. No doubt they were expecting him to perform some great miracle. At least his brothers wanted him to do that and make a great public display of himself. Instead of that, he gave them a great teaching. Teaching which reached to their heart, touched the conscience. Do you remember how we emphasized in our last study, when he said in that last day, that great day of the feast, he stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink," and so on. Now, as a result of that, many of the people, when they heard this saying, said, "Of a truth, this is the prophet." Now, the first thing we've got to take note of now here is that there was a great division amongst the people. Now, Christ himself is the great divide of the human race. And people will range themselves on one side or the other, for or against Christ the Lord. This, after all, is the great dividing factor of men and women. The human race is divided. Christ is the center, and we range ourselves either on one side or the other of Christ. As a person, he is the great divider of history. All history circles around the Lord Jesus Christ. There were certain events that took place before he came, and these events are referred to as B.C., before Christ. But there have been historical events that have taken place since he came, and we refer to this era of time as A.D. So Christ is the central figure of all time. He's the great divide in history. But he's the great divide so far as moral things are concerned, and so far as eternal destinies are concerned. Those that receive Christ have entered in at the straight gate and are on their way to God's heaven. Those that reject Christ will die in their sins. As they die in their sins, then he says, where I am, thither ye cannot come. So here is the great division. Now, notice what some of these people said. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. So these people had a measure of appreciation for his works and for his words. Therefore, we conclude that it is possible for people to appreciate in some measure the teachings of Christ, and yet to continue rejecting him as their Savior. For after all, these people, many of them, it said, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. They expressed their measure of appreciation for him. They appreciated his teachings, and they also appreciated his works. My friend, do you realize it's possible for men and women to have a measure of appreciation for the Lord Jesus Christ? There are those who appreciate him as being a great teacher. In fact, they'll even quote to you some of his sayings as found in the Sermon on the Mount. Many a man who is not a Christian will quote from the Bible. But you see, my friend, you may have a measure of appreciation for the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may have a great measure of appreciation for the kind of life that he lived. But in spite of that, while you may have an appreciation for him, you may continue rejecting him, and you may refuse to accept him as your Savior. Having an appreciation for him is not enough. For example now, if someone prepared a great supper for you and spread the table, and you were invited in, and you came in, and you stood at the table, and you admired every plate that was on the table, you admired everything that was on the table, all that the lady of the house had prepared, there was all the food, and you could admire it, you could ask questions about it, you could speak a word of appreciation, and you could speak of all the work that had been put in to prepare that food. But if you turned your back on it and you said to the person who invited you, but I'm sorry, I'm just not going to eat it, the lady who prepared it would be insulted. She might think that you had no confidence in her. While you did express in words that you appreciated what she had done. No, my friend. If you had sat down, and if you had partaken of what was provided, that would be the best way of showing your appreciation. See, there's a lot of people who speak well about the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll say he was a good man. He lived a good life. He did a lot of good things. He left us with a good example. But they will not accept him as their Savior. The point of the matter is, they may have a measure of appreciation for him, but still reject him as Savior. But there was others there. Verse 41 says, others said, this is the Christ. See, that goes a little further than simply having an appreciation for him. Here are those who know who he is, and they're showing their appreciation by their testimony. They're saying, he's not only a good man, he's not only a prophet, this is the Christ, he's the Son of God. He is the Lord. See, they were showing that they had come in some way or another to discern in him the promised Messiah. But there was others there who were willfully ignorant. Some who said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Now it's obvious they could not discredit what he was doing. They could not discredit his teachings, what he was saying. But they were going to try and discredit the man. If you cannot discredit his preaching, then try to discredit the preacher. That's exactly what they were doing here. They said, this fellow comes from Galilee. Have you ever heard of any good thing coming out of Galilee? After all, doesn't the Bible say that Christ must come of the seed of David, and he must come out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? By the way, notice here, people who were willfully ignorant, and they continued to oppose him. First of all, they reasoned from the human point of view, and they reasoned according to their limited knowledge, and they would not accept him as the Christ. Isn't it strange how people can quote certain verses from the Bible? They take these verses right out of context and try to make them fit into their way of thinking. For example, in their limited knowledge of things, they said, this man comes from Galilee. Why, he was raised in Nazareth of Galilee. He's a Galilean. But if he was the Christ, why, he would be of the seed of David. And he would come out of the town of Bethlehem. Isn't it strange how they didn't know this? The fact of the matter is that the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. And most of you listening to me are acquainted with the circumstances that caused Mary and Joseph to go down to Bethlehem at the very time when he was born, and she brought forth her firstborn, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. But then there came the time when Joseph had to take Mary and the child and go away down to Egypt until Herod had died, and then they brought him back and they made their home again away up in the mountains of Galilee. But the actual fact of the matter is Christ was born there in Bethlehem. Now they said, Christ must come of the seed of David. Well, if they had gone and searched the genealogies, they would have found that this man did come of the seed of David. Trace his genealogy through his mother, and you'll discover that she was a descendant of David. Trace the genealogy through Joseph, if you like, and there you'll find the legal aspect of it. And Joseph was a descendant of David. Joseph was a descendant of David through the line that descended from Solomon, David's son. Mary was a descendant of David through the line that came through Nathan, another son of David. And then Joseph and Mary were brought together in marriage. Mary brought forth her firstborn son. So he was of the seed of David. That's the reason that Matthew in his gospel begins by saying, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. But you see how these people were willfully ignorant, and yet they continued to oppose him. Oh, they had a certain amount of knowledge, but it was very limited, and they only argued, as it were, from the human point of view, and they continued not only to oppose him, but to reject him, and they would not accept him as the Christ. My friend, is it possible that I'm speaking to someone now who has been brought up in a Christian circle, and you went to Sunday school, you learned to quote a lot of verses from the Bible, and perhaps you can still quote verses from the Bible, but there has never been a time in your life's history when you have definitely accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord? Or it may be you can quote John 3:16. It's called the best known verse in the Bible. Maybe you can quote a lot of other verses. But I ask you, my friend, with all your ability to quote the Bible, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? So they would not have him. Verse 43 says, so there was a division among the people because of him. Some said he was the Christ. Some said he was a prophet. But there were others who rejected him because he came from Galilee. Then our attention is directed to some others. There were those that would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees. They said unto them, why have you not brought him? You see, the Pharisees and the rulers, the chief priests, they had sent their officers up, ready to catch him in his words. They were there to take him prisoner and bring him in. They were going to deal with this fellow once and for all and put finish to the whole thing. However, when the officers came back, these servants of the Pharisees, their master said to them, where is he? Why have you not brought him? Listen now to what the servant said, these officers. The officers answered, never man spake like this man. In plain words, the servants of the Pharisees failed to arrest him. These officers came from the council with authority to arrest him. But instead of arresting him, they were arrested by his words and failed to take him prisoner. He arrested them by his speech, and they had to admit, never man spake like this man. Might I suggest to all my listeners today, there has never been any man who has walked the face of this earth who could speak like the Lord Jesus Christ. He spoke words of grace and truth. He spoke with absolute authority. You see, when other teachers were teaching in the days when Christ was here, these teachers always quoted some authority. Whatever they said, they had to give their authority for their statement. And each rabbi would quote from a greater rabbi. That is, each teacher would quote from a greater teacher. He would quote from the man who had taught him, and so on. But when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, he said, but I say unto you. You see, he spoke as the authority. He was the originator of the things that he taught. So therefore, no other man ever spoke like him. He spoke with absolute authority. He also spoke with simplicity. It seems to be something today that people think that if you can mumble and you can talk with words that people don't understand, then they're going to look up to you as being some great person. If you can quote from the original languages and mystify your audience with your rhetoric, then the people are going to say, isn't he a wonderful philosopher? My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't do that. He spoke with absolute simplicity. In plain words, he called a spade a spade. He didn't speak of it as an agricultural implement. He said it was a spade. So therefore, when he spoke not only with authority, but he spoke with simplicity. Again, he spoke with great sympathy. When he came across people who were in need, he could speak words of sympathy to them. You know, it's a rare thing to get a combination of these graces in one man. A man who can speak with authority. A man who can speak with simplicity. A man who can speak with sympathy. But he was also a man who could speak with finality. In plain words, when he had spoken, that was it. There was no need to add anything to it. There was no need to take anything from it. It was final when he spoke. So therefore, these servants of the Pharisees who came to arrest him, they had to admit, never man spake like this man. That got the Pharisees angry. And they turned on these officers and they said, now look, we want you to consider this. Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? They put themselves up as being highly intelligent. They put themselves forward as being the know-alls of that day. And they said, now, have you seen any of us that have believed on him, we have not been deceived. None of the rulers have believed on him. None of the Pharisees have believed on him. This people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Now sitting in the midst was a trained man, a lawyer, a teacher among them. His name was Nicodemus. Oh, you will remember, we were introduced to this man away back in chapter 3. This is the man who came to Jesus one night and had a conversation with him, a private interview, if you like. And that night he learned a great truth. He learned the truth regarding the new birth. And it must have been effective, because now here we find our good friend Nicodemus again. Why, he's one of the Sanhedrin. He's one of the Pharisees. And when the chairman of the council, as it were, stood up and said, "Now look, you haven't found any of the rulers that have believed in him, have you? And you haven't seen any Pharisees that have believed in him." Well, Nicodemus could take no more. Nicodemus gets to his feet. And in effect, he says, "Gentlemen, it's my turn to speak. Does our law judge any man before it hear him? Does our law judge a man before it really knows what he is doing?" In plain words, he's saying to them, "Now, I've had a conversation with him. What about you having a conversation with him? Why don't you listen to what he's got to say first? Why do you condemn him before you've heard what he's got to say?" So Nicodemus, at least, stood up in the Sanhedrin in defense of the Lord Jesus Christ. If all others were against him, he's prepared to make his great confession. There was a great division. There were those who were against Christ. There were those who weren't very sure. There were those who were captivated by what he said, but they hadn't come out and out yet and accepted him. But here was one man. A man who stood side by side, as it were, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he makes his great confession. Here is the confession. First of all, you have the confession of his foes. They said, "Never man speak like this man." Now we have the confession of his friend. He had at least one friend sitting in the council, Nicodemus. The lone voice raised in the council in defense of Christ when he made his appeal for justice according to the law. It's not easy to be a lone voice, is it? Yet this man stood up, took his place in the Sanhedrin, and in effect he's standing and he's saying, "Gentlemen, I'm prepared to stand to my feet and be counted. I believe this is a true man, and our law should not judge any man before it hear him or know what he doeth." They answered and said unto him, "Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look. For out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." And every man went unto his own house. And you know that wasn't true. Their knowledge was very limited, or else they were intentionally holding back the truth. Why? Because Jonah, the outstanding prophet in the Old Testament, was a man from Galilee. Oh, there was a great division. There was a great confession. Where do you stand, my friend? When the world is divided, some are for Christ, some are against Christ, are you prepared to take your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever accepted him as your Savior? If not, why not trust him now?